United America Network, meeting we the people where you are in life. At the four-way intersection of art, culture, politics, and entertainment, this is Period Dot. Fearless conversation and unapologetic truth-telling with Sweet Baby J. Now, from the UAN Studios in Palm Springs, California, here she is, Sweet Baby J.
Hey, beautiful people, I'm Sweet Baby J, and welcome to Period Dot, baby, where we don't tiptoe through the headlines. No, baby, we walk straight through them. And we are living in unprecedented times, right? We are living in history. And where do you go when you want to find out the facts? I don't go to the pundits. I go to artists, because artists are generally the first one to witness what's happening, and certainly the last ones to tell the truth about it. This has always been the case with our history, and today we are going to walk through borders, we are going to walk through the tea, we're going to side eye, we're going to have ourselves some fun, because I've got an artist in the house, baby. I've got an artist in the house. Let me tell you a little bit about it. My guest today is a global jazz artist, a producer, a peace ambassador, and community builder who literally put her work on the border while politicians argued about it from afar. You got that right, baby. Sasha Boutros is here in the house. Diva's in the house. Hello, Sasha.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Now, you know what happened? Sasha called me today and said, hey, I'm in town. Can we have a little coffee? And I said, I got one better for you, baby. Can you come to the studio? And let's talk about a few things. And so we're going to talk about music, obviously. But we're also going to talk about the borders and how you see it, because I know you are a sort of a peace ambassador. So let's just dig right on in the headlines on immigration and reality. Now let's start with what's in the news, because that's what's important right now. We're living through history. And how do you see it? Sometimes the borders are louder than people. Right? Immigration is taking front and center. We are seeing the inhumanity in it every day, as we see women being pulled out of cars and thrown to the ground, as we see ICE in the streets. Now, I want to ask you, as an artist, what do you see?
I see people being incredibly inhumane. I see people breeding violence and hate. There are ways to do things that don't have to incite violence.
Right.
And I just see us going in a way that is not America, mm-hmm. and almost going backwards in time. And now it's just a different people that doesn't fit the mold.
Right. Well, you know, you grew up on the border, right? And I think that provides a very distinct perception, or rather perspective. And when you see this sort of thing happening, well, first of all, let's talk about it, because I understand that you are like Spanish and Lebanese and French all rolled up into one little thing.
I'm a tabbouleh taco.
There it is, a tabbouleh taco. And how was that? How was growing up on the border, and what does that even mean?
So growing up on the border means everyone speaks Spanish, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And
so on the southern border, so on the border of Mexico and the United States.
Yes, so okay. Tijuana, which is the largest point in the United States that people coming back and forth, like
right.
around 26,000 people cross per day.
Yes.
So I grew up there, and when I was young, we would go to the store to buy papayas mm-hmm. and tomates. You can't buy tomatoes anymore. You can't buy papayas. You can't buy seeded things anymore. And my grandfather and my grandma and I, we would want to have carne asada for dinner, and we would get in the car. We'd come back from SeaWorld, drive to the border, 5-minute crossing, get the carne, and come right back over. Get some papaya for the morning, and it was that easy. And then it wasn't. And then it was 20 minutes, and then it was an hour, and then it was, we can't cross anymore, and we can't go back and forth. And our family's from Guadalajara, and they also lived in Tijuana, and I had cousins at the time living in Tijuana, and uncles and aunts, and it just wasn't, it was like, you were with your family, a mile and a half away from each other.
Right.
And yet you were 2.5 hours to 4 hours away from each other.
Because of the crossing.
Because of the crossing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me as a child, it made no sense. As a growing up, it didn't make sense because it was like there was no border between our love, our family, and our get-togethers. And then suddenly there was a giant border, and the border was longer and farther and longer and farther.
Right.
And then suspicious. Mm-hmm. Why are you going, and why are you coming, and why?
Right.
So it really shaped why I do things and why I see things the way I see them, because it makes, for me, it makes no absolute sense as a musician who is trying to, with her supper club, you know, make America great one song at a time, meaning make America love again one song at a time.
Make America love again one song at a time. This is what I'm talking about when you talk about artists and bringing their perspective to things. Now, you know me. I'm always going to talk. I try to be good. I try to keep Trump's name out of my mouth. It's very impossible for me because I just want to go through the TV and do a little choke. But I can't do that. Instead, I try to sort of emanate love. And I'm listening to Sasha, and I should be emanating love. And so we're going to go the love channel, right? Because I understand you as a peace ambassador. Wait a minute, Diva. Didn't you do a mural down at the border?
I did.
Now tell us about that.
So when they were talking about building this wall, and you can see, actually from my grandmother's house, you can see in San Isidro, you can see the wall going all the way down. It goes out like almost a mile into the, half a mile maybe, into the water.
Right.
And you could see them starting construction and building. And my grandfather, Cirilo Cazares, would come back from Tijuana, and we would pick him up at the central drop-off point to go back and forth, where all so the train stops there, the trolley stops there, the taxi stops there, and people cross there.
Now wait, you're in San Diego? What do you mean he would come back from the border?
So
you're further south.
He would go to Tijuana every day, and then he would come back. And when he would come back, I'd see all these people there at this very, there was a wall there, and it's probably about this high.
Right.
And I'd see them leaning against the wall and the hard sun, and they would be waiting for somebody to pick them up to take them to work early in the morning or to take them home late in the afternoon, waiting for the bus or the trolley or somebody to pick them up. And there were two benches. And so while this wall was being constructed to divide us, further division, mm-hmm. as I was saying,
right.
I decided that my life's work would be dedicated to building community through arts. And so maybe not speaking ill of people, where is it, you feel like you want to say something because you're so angry, you're so hurt, you want to say, speak out about injustices. And I realize, who am I? I'm just like one person. And one person, how did they make a difference? And Nancy Wilson, my mentor, used to talk to me all the time, and she used to tell me about marching at Selma. And she said, you say one person, well, if each of those one people work together, then it's a lot of people.
That's right.
And that's how you make a difference. And so I gathered a whole bunch of people with the Border Public Art Committee, and we pitched to an architectural firm, and then also to the Mexican consul, who ended up giving us $16,000 to retrofit the wall and create bench seating so 40 people could sit down instead of four.
Oh, nice.
For all these people coming. And one day at the border, we traced everybody's feet that were crossing on both sides. And I sketched this mural, which is called A Place Where Souls Meet, S-O-L-E-S.
I was going to say, why footprints? And so, S-O-L-E-S. Okay, there you go.
And it's the place where souls meet, San Isidro. And there's a in between, there's the footprints, like a wave, like a bridge.
Right.
From one side, people crossing this way, and one side, people crossing this way. And so what I kind of hoped to do with that was to speak with all of us, with the whole committee and the people that put their heart into this, that it's, you know, about love, it's about community, it's about coming together. And if anything taught me that was growing up on a border in a Mexican community where everyone was together and there was diversity in our community and everyone, you know, worked together. Your neighbor was invited to eat, you gave them a cup of sugar, they brought you cookies, you know, it's a very different feeling than, that's my America in my head.
Right.
You know, is a lot of different people, whether they're white, black, yellow, blue, green, purple, rainbows, everybody working together, making life better for each other.
Right. Is that what the mural depicted?
It depicted the love of my family and that feeling of growing up there at that border. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to capture that moment as it changed, before, you know, it changed a lot.
Right. So it was, you know, I mean, that's a symbolic move, but it's political. That's what I mean about artists in politics. That was a very political statement. Just saying, I mean, you know, you can talk about the symbolism in it, right? And doing it, and souls, and meeting, and having the 40, the benches for 40 people. And but it's a very political statement, and artists have always been on the front of politics.
Yes.
In ways that keep our humanity, I think, and we have to, in ways that make it digestible for people.
I think it's our responsibility.
It's absolutely
a true artist is responsible to use a gift that they were given, mm-hmm. that I also believe can be taken away, mm-hmm. and to share that and open different sense of awareness for others and consciousness through their art.
Absolutely.
By giving, by creating more light, and by creating community and bringing people together. Maybe they don't use the particular words for politics, but they bring light to a certain area where there is darkness together.
Right.
To lift.
To lift. Did anybody try to sanitize that message or change it in any way? Because you got funding for it. So did you have control of that?
They didn't try to change anything. The consul really loved what we were doing and how it was bringing community together. We threw a big party at the border, invited, you know, councilmen, congressmen, and they came, and it was really nice because it's a place where people don't actually go. Mm-hmm. It becomes kind of a dumping spot now, you know, on the way in and on the way out. But it's a community. People live there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, honey. That's what I'm talking about. Well, you've been working at bringing community together for a long time, because I know you're also a producer as well as a singer. And let's talk about women and power and being in charge, and how that sometimes seems a daunting task, because, you know, there are a lot of people that love to see, and particularly club owners or promoters, that love to see women in front of the mic, but they may have a difficult time, a little challenge, seeing the power structure of a woman producer.
You know a lot about that, too.
I do. So, have you run into that? And what has been your experience with being a producer?
I feel like I've had very positive experiences concerning that, where I've worked with other women, like you, for example.
Yes.
Who, when you work with women like you, and then I come around and I have ideas, you listen. Mm-hmm. And you say, let's create together.
Yes.
And then it just flies like a butterfly and takes on a mind of its own sometimes, and steers, because two people with right action and intention create something really lovely.
That's right.
And it's easy. And mm-hmm. I find it very fluid. But then there are times where I have ideas and I'm pitching to a board, or I'm talking to an executive committee, and they're looking at me like I'm dumb, or I'm young, or what do I know about anything? And it becomes very difficult. And sometimes I have more degrees than them, but because I'm a singer, they just look at me, and they're just, and a minority on top of that, double minority, they're looking at me kind of down.
Right. And how do you get around that? Because you get things done. Woman, hear me roar. Yeah. Helen Reddy, woman, hear me roar. I hear you, you know, I can hear you.
What's your roar sound like?
That's right, there you
What's
go.
What's your roar it's sound a, like? Let me hear you roar.
It's a that's a good one. But let me ask you this. Now, when that happens, and I know it happens, how do you get around that? Because you're a young woman. And you're a singer. They come in with these preconceived ideas of what that looks like and what it sounds like, and you are getting things done. So how are you doing that? Do you give some advice for young producers coming up?
It's really not easy, because I don't want to say, because everyone has their own karma and their own path, but it the same, that you won't be accepted, but sometimes you won't be accepted. You just won't be accepted. And there'll be certain clubs that you want to play, and you just won't get a gig there, even if you deserve a gig there, even if you've worked hard, even if you know you can fill it, you're just not going to get a gig there, because that booking agent particularly likes maybe 20-year-olds that jump up and down and are sweet and stroke their ego. And it's just the way it is. And not being angry about it, bitter about it, or holding on to the resentment, because those only hurt you, and creating something completely different. So knowing that there's this much available and you're only allowed to have maybe this much if you work really, really hard, well, let's create something completely different over here. Create your own thing.
There it is.
That's what it is.
I was going to ask you, you know, they're rolling back women's rights, right, legislatively, and that sort of plays into that. And how do you not wait for somebody to give you permission?
You just don't. I waited my whole life. I had a father that I had to ask permission for all the time. I had to ask club owners permission. I have to. And finally, one day I said, you know what? I want to play that venue. Why are they saying no to me? And why are they being so mean? Oh, I can just sit there saying, why? Okay, I'm going to go rent the venue out. I'm going to rent the venue out. Do I know if I'm going to sell every ticket in that venue? There's 600 seats. Do I know? No. But I believe in myself, and I'm going to help others and bring them up as well, create jobs. I'm going to give people opportunities that are just like me that wouldn't normally be able to stand on that same stage, because they'll also tell them the same thing.
Right.
Because they're not part of the in club or the right color or, you know, the right sound. Or let's create a different path.
Let's create a different path. That's what you have to do. And now let's talk about, let's get that artist perspective, right? Trump is putting his name, I have to always go back to that, because, you know, that's just, people ask me about it all the time. And so we're talking about the Kennedy Center, well, it's now called the Trump Kennedy Center. And have you played the Kennedy Center?
I have not. Have you?
I played years ago. And I asked myself, would you do it now? Would you be one of the people that said, I'm canceling? Yes, I would, because I just, that's where I am right now. But I'm asking you, Sasha, what are your feelings on that?
If I were asked to perform?
If you were asked to perform at the Kennedy Center, still the prestigious Kennedy Center, although it's the Trump Kennedy Center. And I mean, you know, this is, look, I've been presumptuous by assuming, and that's something I shouldn't do, assume that everyone has disdain for Trump like I do. Let's just talk about the reality. You may not, and some of our listeners may not, so let me just say this to you now. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or any of the above. The point is, we are living in inhumane times, and I am standing up to say this has got to stop. You have got to stop. So if you're listening to me, you just better stop it. So I'm asking for people to sort of reach back into their souls and let's calm everything down and start thinking about humanity and bringing it back to that basic core. So Sasha, we're talking about the Kennedy Center, the prestigious Kennedy Center that I love to death, right? You know, it's just a beautiful building. I'm calling you, I'm saying, come and play the Kennedy Center, Diva. Not me. Let's say somebody else is calling you and saying, come and play the Kennedy Center. That's my question.
Well, I think that would depend on who's performing with me, because there's still the opportunity in the face of adversity to create a higher vibration that plants a seed.
Yeah, see, she's spiritual.
And so if I were being called to do that, I would weigh every negative and positive and ask, why am I being asked to do this? Is this a lesson on discernment, on saying no and letting go? Or am I being called to do something greater because of the fact that I have to go do something for somebody that I don't agree with his policy or things about him? But maybe my presence with a group of people that I choose to be there could create a moment of light that might penetrate in a different way, that messages might be passed, that feelings might be moved, that hate might be dissolved, that we could create a little more love. If that's the case, I'm 100% for it. If I'm being asked to sing with people that are arresting immigrants and treating people inhumanely, then my answer is no. So it depends on the intention of what is. It's not just about singing. It's the intention behind it.
Okay, I hear you. And I hear that you got all that love in your voice, and, you know, sounds like you grew up in the church. I hear a little gospel. Did you grow up in the church?
I grew up in the church.
Yes, I hear that. You see what I'm telling you?
You and I, what we just been through?
Yeah.
We're still sitting here.
That's true. We're still sitting here.
What's the reason for that?
Oh, she's getting deep on us now. Tell me.
Because we're supposed to spread our love and our light everywhere. We're supposed to do that and keep igniting people, the pilot lights under them, ignite them, remind them what love is. Because when people get excited for good, they get excited for bad things too.
That's right.
We see what's going on. Mm-hmm. We have to ignite the other side. So enough people get excited to make that change all live in harmony.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why we're still here.
Both Sasha and I had health issues, and we beat it.
And we could have not been here.
That's right.
But we're still here.
So
we have to pass it on.
Exciting people. Okay.
We have to excite them.
But I love that love. I love that you grew up in the church. I love that. When you hear her sing, you'll hear what I'm talking about. You've got a new CD out, right?
I do.
Wait. So, like I said, when you hear her sing, you'll hear what I'm talking about. She's a great jazz singer, but she also has some gospel in her voice, you know. And I can hear that church when I hear her sing. And so that was, how does that all roll up into you, right? What do you have in you? You've got, first of all, don't you speak like 1,000 languages or something?
A few.
Yeah. And tell us, how many languages? Because I know it's something, it's like 6 or 7 or something.
Yes, and the 7th is music, and you speak that too.
Right. That's right, because music...
And that is a fluent language.
It's a fluent language. It's beautiful, 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 beautiful.
And the cool thing about it is we read and write it, but if people... Like you were telling me that amazing story where you went to play in Indonesia.
Yes.
And no one spoke English.
That's right.
But yet you understood each other because people understand each other that speak music.
That's exactly right.
And if you don't read it or write it, it doesn't matter because you understand it too.
That's right.
You feel it. You understand it. You process it. People process it in different ways.
That's right. Then you... Now, I know you go to Paris a lot.
Yeah.
I know. Every time I look up, you're in Paris. And so you're sort of straddling between here and there, right?
Yes. Yeah, so my main residence is there. And then,
oh, because this is what? Paris After Dark.
Yes. This celebrates 100 years of Franco-American friendship. And actually, it comes on 250 years anniversary of our country's friendship with France, because they actually... funded our last leg of the war so that we could break away from England and become America.
That's right.
And this is 100 years of American and French songwriters in Paris and their experience and why.
Mm.
And it's actually a story about immigration.
There you go, honey. We're living. Immigration is louder than people now.
So people
this
see
is
this,
what we're talking about
like,
all over.
Oh, how nice. I love that song, Smile, Charlie Chaplin. Oh, Love in Portofino, Dalida. Oh, In the Still of the Night, Cole Porter. Right. Why did you pick In the Still of the Night, though? Why didn't you, you know, the question has been with a lot of interviewers, why In the Still of the Night and why not Isle of Paris?
Right.
Well, because Cole Porter lived in Paris with his partner. When he could, and it was the only place he could actually be with his partner.
Right, and feel safe,
mm-hmm. And he was very private about it. Mm-hmm. There's even speculation that says, oh, we don't really know who that was, but we think it's this person, but he had an apartment there. In fact, I got to take my opera lessons at the American Cathedral where his piano is, on the piano, on the Cole Porter piano.
There you go.
And I did a Friday lunch worship service for, we fed homeless people every Friday, and I'd come in for like 3-4 hours and then help and then sing and pray and then go practice on the piano. So it was really fun. But every person has a story. Joe Dassin, he was a Jewish guy, Jewish kid in the streets of New York. You know, he had a famous dad, and nobody understood him, and they said he had a big nose. And, you know, he was singing like these French music with his guitar. He moves to France, he becomes a star overnight.
Right.
Sidney Bechet, you have Louisiana, you have racism, you have slavery. I mean, he could have died playing his clarinet. Just because he wanted to express himself. So he left and he moved and he became a star, and he was able to express himself in France, and he lived there. And the song is about his mother and leaving his mother, and that gentle and great tender love as he leaves, that he'll always remember her eyes as he goes away with, you know, with the flowers in the balcony, you know.
Beautiful.
So every person left for some reason. Charlie Chaplin was exiled from this country and had to go to Switzerland. Somebody who was a big part of shaping our whole arts industry, who always spoke out about injustice in every way concerning everybody. So it's my story of people.
Music without borders.
Yes. And how Paris became a place and a safe haven for artists to come and express themselves. And you know, the first time that I really moved to Paris, you know, I dress a little flamboyantly sometimes. I wear different colors. Sometimes I'm in all these colors, or I make my hair big, or I have a big hat on. And people in America sometimes, if you're not in New York or San Francisco, they're like, they might say you look fabulous, come up and say, like, are you crazy? Are you okay? Like, what gives people the right to even say that, you know? And in France, it's seen as self-expression.
Right.
If you have the ability to be yourself, it is the greatest gift possible. And so if you're just you and you find a city that doesn't care and loves you for you, well, aren't we all looking for love in that way with our partners, that we want to find our soul's counterpart in someone else where we can share?
I think so.
Well, that's what Paris gave all these artists. You know, that's where they went to express themselves and be heard.
It's pretty remarkable. You know what I mean? I love what you're doing. I love that you're giving back. It's not charity, it's structure. It is keeping us on the right track. It is what we have to do. Like you said, it is our responsibility to give back. And I love that you're doing that. I got some fun. Let's do some fun. I'm going to do a quick, it's the rapid fire section.
Right? Ooh, okay.
So it's the rapid fire section. And so no ducking. I'm just going to throw out something. And you don't polish it up. The first thing that comes to your mind, and you say, let's see what we got. What do we have here? One word for the current political climate.
Dark.
One word. What?
Dark.
Dark. Okay, good. Biggest lie being told about immigrants.
That they're bad.
That's it. What does jazz teach democracy?
Human rights, liberties, freedom, cultural exchange, living dialogue, history, understanding, patience.
Right.
Oh. Hardship. Suffering.
Suffering.
How to turn suffering into triumph.
That is the definition of jazz, isn't it? Let me tell you, baby, because it started here. It started here. It started out of suffering. They found a way to make that music turn it into this passion.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Something beautiful.
Something beautiful. That's the story.
Taking the worst and making it the best.
What gives you real hope?
Humans, when they find love. And when they pass it on.
That's right.
When they're kind. Even a small act of kindness.
I love it. I love it. Sasha, 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 we've That's Sasha Boutros. Did you love what you heard? Let me tell you something. This is what happens when a diva drops in for an afternoon and calls you up and says, hey, baby, can you go and have some coffee? And I said, okay, come on into the studio. So thank you so much for joining us. Sasha, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing a little bit of you.
Thank you, sweet baby Jane.
I mean, really, this is absolutely fabulous. I think you're just special, and I think the world knows it. And those of you that don't, absolutely make sure that you get her music. And, I mean, this feels sort of like, it feels sort of like we're doing a, what do they do on The View when they get you to buy the stuff on
sale. Oh, they give it like half off. I bought something the other day, the QR code, because Whoopi kept saying, this is great. So I bought it.
That's what this is, but I'm telling you, you have my personal guarantee, and I don't give it that often. You have my personal guarantee that this CD is going to be absolutely fabulous, baby, let me tell you. And you're starting to chart, right?
I'm starting to chart.
I'm fifth week now chart bound,
so I hope to get on that top 50. There's one woman on that top 50. There are 2% women on the top 500.
This is what I'm talking about. This is why I make sure, this is why I started the Palm Springs Women's Jazz Festival, helped start that, co-founded it, because women, they just aren't out there. They expect women to be on the microphone, but not behind the scenes, not on the instruments. And it's very important to make sure that that happens, that people know. And so it's important that they know that you're not only a singer, which is the wonderful thing in the world, honey, because let me tell you about it, you're able to give your soul and share that, but also producing and doing a little bit of writing and doing a little bit of all of that. So we have found out a lot about Sasha, that you are a peace ambassador, which is wonderful, that you did that mural down at the border, which souls, you know, is that what it's called?
Yeah, the place where souls meet. I hope it was a plan to do that at a major city, every major city, and have a little park and give free concerts like on Sunday, and
Right. It's
still in the works with the Sasha Supper Club. It's just sometimes, you know, because you produce incredible things. I'm sure you thought of the Palm Springs Women in Jazz Festival for a really long time before it really came to fruition. Sometimes
Exactly. We
dream it, we see it, and it takes, sometimes it happens like this, and sometimes it takes a long, long time.
It's just like with the Sunset Music and Comedy Festival and our Smarts Initiative were given to the kids. You know, it just happens.
Yeah.
It's sort of
organic.
It happened because I wanted to give a kid a guitar. I had a guitar, and I wanted to give a kid a guitar. And so I called up one of my friends that works at the Palm Springs High, and I said, do you have a kid that I could give a guitar to? Why don't you see if one of the teachers' music programs? And then I found out that, kids that are in music, you don't get the instruments, you don't get to take them home. And I was like, what are you talking about? How can you not take an instrument?
Yeah, you have to practice it.
How can you learn if you can?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you could rent one. Well, what about the kids that can't rent? I mean, we have a high poverty rate amongst these children. And that's what started this whole thing foundation, a guitar. It's like, okay, I want to get a guitar. And then I found out that's what's happening. And then it prompted this whole thing and the whole foundation about giving children guitars. And so that's what I'm talking about with you and your projects, right? And so thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you
for sharing yourself with us. Thank you for being in town today.
Are you doing anything for International Jazz Day?
Oh, of course. Of course I am. I'm doing something for Women's History Month and Black History Month.
Fantastic.
We have a Black History Month show coming up on February the 20th, as a matter of fact. I hope you come. It's over at Spirit Animal. What are you saying? What Spirit Animal?
Down the rabbit hole in Wonderland.
Down the rabbit hole in Wonderland over at Hotel Zoso on February the 20th. And then a Women's History, sunsetmusic.org, S-U-N something. You know what I'm talking about.
She produces amazing shows, so if you guys get a chance, go.
That's the story. You gotta go. But Sasha, tell us what you're doing next so we can find you.
I'm going to be doing a Nancy Wilson tribute at the Merck on Thursday.
See? See?
It's my, well, she's my hero, my good friend, but also April 30th.
I did a show with you.
Right. You let me be Nancy for Black History Month. It was like the highlight of my life.
It was beautiful.
April 30th, we registered, and I got a spot at the club Sunside, Sunset Sunside in Paris, which is one big famous jazz club, and invited tons of artists and producing International Jazz Day. So we're celebrating 250 years of Franco-American friendship, which again is, you know, right now people are saying to me, they say a lot of things, and they say, well, they're not really friends right now. And I said, they've always been friends, and let's remind them that friendship should be endured.
That's right.
And we must do this.
All right. Tell them. Talk to the people and tell them.
So it's 250 years of America and France, and we've always been friends back to Benjamin Franklin. And so it's just a beautiful reminder what friendship and love and community bring together through democracy, and how we together as artists are coming together. A lot of very famous artists, Michelle Hendricks, jazz bebop legend, and many, a huge cast of friends coming together, American, French, Cuban, Russian, Mexican, to promote International Jazz Day and for UNESCO, and the reasons why we play jazz, and to create that community. And we hope to be part of the rest of the world who is also doing that. Mm-hmm. So that I really believe that these little ripples of energy, if everyone is coming together at the same time, can really raise the light.
Because that's what happens. International Jazz Day are jazz bands all over the world, and different cities are represented. We're doing for Palm Springs our International Jazz Day concert, and then you're in Paris then, and then all over the world. Herbie Hancock sponsors this. He hosts this day, and it's just a really fabulous event. And so you can go online and sort of click around the world to see the bands. And so you can see Sasha.
And we'll be live streaming.
Jazz
Democracy and Dialogue. That's what it's called. 250 years of celebrated friendship of France and America.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I want to say, hey, look, stay awake. Stay engaged. Conversation closed, baby, period, dot. Thank you for joining us.
Period Dot is a production of the United America Network. Views expressed are those of the host and guests. If you would like to share feedback, send email to feedback@unitedamericanetwork.com. Be sure to like and subscribe to Period Dot from any of our distribution partner portals. Thank you for engaging in our democracy.